Let's go ahead and turn to the book of 1 John in chapter number 4 and continuing this study in the book of John, 1 John, which is a book of assurance. And we have been talking about different ways to be assured of your salvation. Again, one of the verses or one of the words that should pop out at you as you are reading the word is the word know. The most famous one is, these things we have written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Also, we have talked about this being a book of love where 1 John 4:7-8, we're not going to get there tonight, but we'll be there in 2 weeks. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So we know that love is in this book. And so hopefully we're learning a lot about how to love others, and we're learning a lot about being assured. But last week we talked about we talked about trying the spirits. And we talked about the false prophets that were going out into the world. And the false prophets are those who deny the deity of Christ. Now John is going to encourage his readers that they can overcome these false teachers. Now, today we're going to read one of the a very popular verse of Scripture that you hear many people use, and it's verse number 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And you know that verse of Scripture. As a matter of fact, that verse is going to be our church camp theme verse, right? Church camp is going to be based upon the song by Mercy Me called Greater. And so you've heard it said, greater is He that is in you. Actually, I think we've sang that song, right? Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You sang that little song before. So that's a truth that we know. But in our men's Sunday school class this morning, we talked about keeping a verse in context. Okay? Very important for you to keep a verse in context. And we do need to keep 1 John 4:4 in context and understand exactly what John is talking about. The context of what John is talking about, as we said in the first three verses of John chapter number 4, is the fact that there are many antichrists going out into the world, and those antichrists are the false prophets, the false teachers, who deny the deity of Christ. One thing about false teachers is they are often quite influential. They are often, many times they appeal to the flesh, and they cause you to desire to follow them. They have a message that people will listen to. And so John is trying to tell his readers here not to be taken in by the words of the false prophets, but understand the fact that you can't overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's read a few more verses and then we'll kind of get beyond our introduction. Verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So here John is reminding his readers that they can overcome the teachings of the false teachers. How can they overcome? Well, the first reason that they can have the confidence and the assurance that they can overcome the false teachers is because the first thing that John tells them, you are of God. John is encouraging his readers to understand who they are. They are the children of God. You are of God. In other words, his readers can have confidence because they know that God is on their side. He has the confidence that his readers are of God. And it's why that he is writing to them. And it's why they are listening to him. It's because they are of God. And someone who's not of God wouldn't want to listen to their message. Wouldn't want to listen to John's message. Someone that's not of God wouldn't hear the word. And so we understand the reason that John wrote this letter is because these people are the children of God. And they're going to listen and they're going to hear. Also, he has given them many reasons to be assured of their salvation and to be assured that they are of God. And so they will know that they are in Christ Jesus. So the first reason that they can know that they can overcome these false teachers is because they understand that they are of God. Now, another fact that we understand from this, if you read verse number 6, and he says, he that knoweth God heareth us. You see, they're listening to him. And their desire to listen to him is proof that they are of God. If you are of God, you will listen to John. You will listen to the men of God. And you know that he is of God. Again, why would someone refuse to listen to the word of God? Think about this. You take the word of God and you show it to someone. Or you sit down with someone and you say, maybe it's even a break at work. Some of you may have experienced this. You open up your Bible in a public place and you are going to read from your Bible in a public place. Someone says, why are you reading that Bible for? You don't need to read that old Bible. You know? Or you share a verse with someone. I don't want to hear that. That's the Bible. I don't need that stuff. Why would they have that attitude towards the Word of God? Because they're not of God. They're not saved. They don't have a love for God. They don't have a love for His Word. They don't have a love for the things of God. And so they express that by rebelling against those things. I don't need that old Bible, someone might say. Right? Oh, you're going to bring the Bible into it. Right? Let me tell you, you go to someone and say, let me tell you what the Bible says. Oh, you don't go preaching to me now. You know, right? They have this negative opinion towards the Scriptures. Why? Because they're not of God. Because even those of us who, if someone comes to me and says, now Mark, you're doing this, but the Bible says that's sin. I may not want to hear what they have to say. I may say, I may not want to hear what they have to say, but in my heart I know that what the Word of God says is true and I'm going to be accepting of it, even though that is convicting, right? Because I have an appreciation for the Word of God. So you can know if you're of God by knowing whether you want to hear the Word of God, because He says, he that knoweth God heareth us. Someone refuses to listen to the Word of God because they're not of God. In other words, when someone refuses to listen to the Word of God, it is proving what is in their heart. God is not in their heart. So John is reminding them, listen, you can overcome these false teachers because you're of God and because you desire to listen. You want to listen to the Word. You want to listen to my words. It is proof to you that you are of God. Okay? Now, John also says that I'm writing this to you. At the end of verse number 6, he says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do you know the spirit of truth? John says that there's many false prophets that's gone out into the world. So when someone stands up and speaks and said, this is the Word of God, how do you know if they're speaking the truth or not? Remember, in the last days, there's going to be many false teachers in the world, and it says so much that it would even deceive the elect, if it were possible to even deceive the elect. And so the speakers that are going to be speaking the telling the lies, they're going to be very convincing. They're going to be so convincing that the potential is to deceive the elect. In other words, the message is going to be such that it's going to be difficult to discern between what is truth and what is error. So how do you do that? How are you able to, how do you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? And the very first thing that we want to think about is scripture comparison. One of the rules of Bible interpretation, we talked about the first rule of Bible interpretation in our men's Sunday school class today, is keeping a verse in context. You need to understand the context of what is being said. You need to know who is writing, who they're writing to, and what are they writing about, and what does it mean to that person to whom they are writing? You need to know those things before you interpret the Scripture. Another rule of Bible interpretation is that you let the Bible interpret the Bible. We know the Bible is true. The Bible has no error in it. And so you allow the Bible to interpret itself. If there's something that you don't understand, you go to another place and find out, well, what's the Bible say about that somewhere else to help you gain your understanding? If you need to know more about a subject, you compare Scripture with Scripture. Okay? So when we think about that, you know, there was a process that was gone through. We have 66 books here in the King James Bible. We have 66 books in the what we know as the Bible. We also know that all of the writings that were written during the days of the apostles did not find their way into the canon of Scripture. We know, right, that there was a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Laodicea. Paul wrote some other letters, and those letters didn't find their way into the canon of Scripture. We know that there was a letter that Judas wrote, right, that didn't find its way into the canon of Scripture. So how did the 66 books get chosen? There was a process that was gone through to guarantee or to discern which books were to go into the 66. Let me tell you, one of those things was apostolic authority. It had to be either written by an apostle or written by someone who had more or less authority from an apostle. And really, by 170 AD, the books that would be determined to be the canon of Scripture were known. They had to be accepted by others. They had to be received by others. But the main thing was, you could know that it was the Word of God if it had apostolic authority. And why was apostolic authority important? What did John say in the beginning of 1 John 1? He said, things that we have seen, things that we have heard, and we have handled of the word of life. They were eyewitnesses to the words of Jesus Christ. And so they would know what Jesus said. And they would know the principles that Jesus taught. And so they would be the authority on the things that Jesus said. And that's why many of their writings found their way into the canon of Scripture. My point is this. Here we have John, who is an apostle, who happens to be the last eyewitness of Jesus Christ. The things that he's going to say to them, they are true. They can be listened to. They are words that we can listen to. And by the way, how amazing is it today that you have the book of 1 John in your hands? A letter that was probably written on papyri, or it was written on an animal skin. And it was passed down through the ages. And you have it in your hands today. It's an amazing fact that we have any of the Scripture and that any of the Scripture has been maintained. But God has preserved His Word for us, and we can be thankful for that. But as we listen to the words of John the Apostle, we can know them, and we can know that we can trust in them because he was an apostle. So when a false teacher or when someone comes and says, makes a statement, you compare that statement to the Word of God. And if that statement agrees with the Word of God, then you can believe that statement. But if that statement does not agree with the Word of God, then you shouldn't believe that statement. That's how you know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The spirit of truth, you can find it in the Word of God. The spirit of error, you can't find in the Word of God. Who will listen to those that are giving the spirit of error? I thought about this as I was thinking about the message this week. You might be able to tell the spirit of truth and the spirit of error by who's listening to the person. What type of people are listening to the message of that person? Is it people of the world, or is it the people of God? If the message is being taken in by the people of the world, you might want to be cautious about that. If the message of a speaker is appealing to the world, you might want to be careful about that. So who's listening to this person? What are they appealing to? Go back there to 1 John chapter number 4, and it says, they are of the world. And what do they speak of? They speak of the world. They speak of worldly things. And if they're speaking of worldly things, you probably shouldn't listen to them. Let me ask you this. Who do you listen to today? You have principles in your life. You have principles by which you live. Who are you listening to? Do you listen to the Word of God? Do you listen to the men of God? Young people, do you listen to your parents as they share with you the Word of God? Or are you listening to your friends? Or are you listening to people who are popular in the world? Who are you listening to when you are thinking about the life principles upon which you are building your life? Remember the book of Luke chapter number 6 and verse 26. We won't take the time to turn there, but it says, beware when all men speak well of you, right? More or less, that's a paraphrase. Just let me turn and read it to you. Y'all don't have to turn there. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 26 says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. If all men are speaking well of you, if there's never any conviction in your words, if there's never any words that cut, you need to be careful if all men speak well of you. So who are you listening to? Let's take an issue that's in our world today, especially among young people. Our world is full of, we live in a sex-crazed world. When the desire for the opposite sex and the desire for fleshly things, we're inundated with it. You can't turn on the TV and you don't see something that is not using the opposite sex as an allurement to buy something. Our TVs are flooded with all different types of innuendo and those type of things. And very rarely do you see a husband and wife and their relationship they have together being honored. What you see on the TV and in society is that two people can go and be involved in a physical relationship every time anytime they want to, and there's really no big deal. You just go and do whatever you want to when you want to, and everything's okay. The Bible says that any physical relationship outside the bonds of marriage is fornication. And people say, you don't have to be pure when you're married. You know, that's old school. You know, nobody's going to be pure when they're married anymore. Everybody, you know, are going to have some kind of physical involvement. You know, you can't keep yourself away from those things. Yeah, the Bible says it's fornication, and fornication is sin. And if you're involved in it, you're sinning against God. Who are you listening to? What the world says is okay, or what the Bible says? You see, we need to understand that. So how do you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? What does it speak to? Does it speak to the Word of God, or does it speak to the flesh? Is it appealing to the flesh, or is it the Word of God? What John is telling them is, listen, you can overcome the false teachers that are in the world because you listen to the Word of God. And we need to make sure that we are listening to the Word of God. You can overcome the false teachers because you are of God and because you listen to the Word of God. Next, we want to understand that we can overcome the false teachers because of who dwells in us. You see, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who dwells in the world? The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. So anything that's going on in this world, Satan is in control of that. And what are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to that that's in the world? Who's in you? We know the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Christ is in you. And you are going to be able to overcome the false prophets and the false teachers because the Spirit of God is living in you. And the Spirit of God that is living inside of you is greater than the Spirit that is in the world. The Spirit is in the false prophets. The Spirit that is in you is greater than the Spirit that's in the false prophets. So understand, you can overcome the false teachers because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John chapter number 17 and verse number 17, John says this, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true. The Spirit of God lives inside of our hearts, and the Spirit of God is going to lead us according to the truth of the Word of God. And as we are led in truth to the Word of God, we're going to be set apart from the world, and we're going to be set apart to God. And so when the false teachers come, and they're presenting their false message, because you have the Word of God in your heart. David said, thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. As I have the Word of God hidden in my heart, the Holy Spirit then takes that Word that is hidden in my heart and begins to use it. And the Holy Spirit begins to alert us to the fact they're false teachers. What they're saying is not true. What they're saying you can't find in the Scripture. You need to be led away from that. You need to stay away from that truth. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God that is in you leads you according to the truth, and it utilizes the truth that is in your life to help you identify the false teachers and overcome them. Again, that's one of the reasons that we need to know the Word of God. That's another reason why you need to study to show yourself approved. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. It's why you need to know the Word of God. Give diligence to the Word of God. Some say that, some translate that verse. Give diligence to the Word of God. Why? That you may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that you can be led by the Holy Spirit of God. So you can know the Spirit of truth. So you can know the Spirit of error. And so you can overcome the false teachers that are going out into the world. Let's understand something else too. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter number 12. If you begin to listen to false teachers, or if you begin to listen to others who are in the world, and you begin to put into practice in your life practices that are contrary to the Word of God, what's going to happen? Can you live your life contrary to the Word of God and it not affect you? Well, Hebrews chapter number 12 tells you that you must be affected. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 5 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, when I walked contrary to mom and dad's commandments, when they said, Mark, don't do that, and Mark did that, do you think I knew about it? Do you think they let me know when I did something they told me not to do? Or do you think that they let me know about it when I didn't do something that they told me to do? For example, mom might say, Mark, when I come home from work today, I expect the grass to be cut. So Mark doesn't cut the grass. He goes play wiffle ball instead, or he goes running in the hills or whatever. Do you think when mom gets home from work that oh, it's okay. She doesn't say anything about it. It's just, no, at my house, they generally let you know. They probably let you know several times beforehand just to make sure that you didn't forget. You know, they might call you throughout the day and say, you got that grass cut yet? You going to cut that grass? Ah, Mom, I'll get it. It'll be cut by the time you get home. Don't worry about it, Mom. It'll be cut. No, I mean, Mom, if I transgressed her laws, I knew about it, right? She never let it slide. Well, when you transgress the law of God, God's going to let you know about it. God's not going to allow you to continue to live your life contrary to His law if you're one of His children. Again, Hebrews 12:5. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son? Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. There were some times when I was young and my parents were rebuking me, and I didn't like it very well. But I'm thankful for it now. Remember this, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you are listening to the spirit of error, the Holy Spirit of God is not going to allow you to continue to walk in the spirit of error. You are going to be chastened. You are going to be rebuked. You're going to receive discipline. Listen, when you're rebuked of the Holy Spirit of God, don't faint. Don't grow weary. But understand, it is the Lord expressing His love for you because He knows there is danger in walking that path. And if you continue to walk that path, it's going to cause harm to you. So don't do that. Don't continue to walk that path. Change the path that you're on, and the Holy Spirit will convict you. For whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If you will not rebuke and chasten your children, it is proof that you don't love them. Because the one that loves their children chastens them and rebukes them. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to chasten you and is going to rebuke you. It is the sign of love of God. When you are rebuked, when you are chastened, when the Holy Spirit begins to bring that conviction into your life that you're going away from the Word of God, you're going away from the plan of God, you're involved in sin in your life, and the Holy Spirit begins to convict you, that's just God expressing His love for you. And here's how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you're walking in error, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you over it. And what's it say, if you be without the chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. You are the illegitimate children. You're not truly sons. So don't faint when you're rebuked. My point is this. How are you going to know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? If you begin to walk according to the spirit of error, the Holy Spirit of God is going to rebuke you. Here's another thing. If you are walking in what is known sin and you are not convicted over it, you better be concerned. One of two things is true in that case. Number one, you're not a child of God. Number two, you're hardened. You're hardened to sin. You're hardened to the rebuke of the Heavenly Father, and you're about to go under. So be careful. So how do you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error? The Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives in you, the Holy Spirit, is going to bring conviction in your life. If you begin to follow the spirit of error, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. One of the things that Leroy told me, that one of the principles of his life, is he said, and I've told you all this, but he says, remember this, if your children are truly saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will not allow them to live in sin. The Holy Spirit will convict them and draw them back if they're truly saved by the grace of God. And if they're not, If the Holy Spirit doesn't draw them back, then they're not saved. And what they really need is they need to be saved. And Leroy reminded me of that at a young age, and when my kids were young, and we continue to live by that principle. The Holy Spirit will convict His children and bring them back from following a pathway of sin. That's how you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, because the Holy Spirit is going to convict you to follow the ways of truth. So John tells them, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome the world, because greater is He that is in you than he is that is in the world." I love that. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." That is the perfect active indicative. It has already happened. It's actually, in the Greek, it is the perfect active indicative of nikeo. And what it means is calm confidence of final victory. John is telling them, you can have a calm confidence of final victory. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to be concerned whether you're going to get the victory or not. You can have a calm confidence that you are going to have a victory. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit that is in you is greater than the Spirit that is in the false prophets. And so you're going to be able to overcome them. The confidence which is discussed here is the confidence that we can have in other areas of our lives also. You see, it is the spirit of error that leads us away from the truth of the Word of God. And when Satan tempts us, often he tempts us with the spirit of error. He wants us to believe a lie, just like he got Adam and Eve to believe a lie. When he tempts us to sin, he wants us to believe a lie. So we can have this calm confidence and assurance in many areas of our lives. Why? Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And where is He going to lead us? He's going to lead us into all truth. And we can be led, and we can overcome, because the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of us. The Spirit that is in us is greater than the Spirit that is in the false prophets and the Spirit that is in the world. So let's train ourselves to listen to the Spirit of God as it leads us. And as the Spirit of God that is in us alerts us to the teachings of the false prophets and how they are contrary to the Word of God, let's make sure we can identify those so we can overcome those sinful thoughts, those sinful ideas, and the sinful teachings, and walk the straight and narrow path that leads unto life everlasting, the path of blessing, the path of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the truth that is contained in Your Word. We pray that You'll bless it as we utilize it in our lives. We thank You, God, that we have the Spirit of truth living inside of us, and we can overcome the world, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Bless our upcoming weeks, we pray. In the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.